Hello and welcome to the IDK My BFF Jill podcast. I'm your host Jill, and I don't know jack, but not for real. I'm here to learn more about life by being curious about others and being vulnerable about myself. I'm talking to people from all walks of my life because despite the world being big, we all know it's also very small, and you never know when that gem will be dropped that will allow you to grow. So let's go. Hey everyone, it's Jillian, and I have to do a double intro for you today to let you know that this episode was actually recorded in 2021. My girlfriend Grace interviewed me for her then blog called Disabled Mama. And while the recording is 2 years old, the topics of growth and change are constant, so everything's still relevant. I hope you enjoy the episode and learn something new.
On this computer.
Okay, bueno. Hi, all right. Grace.
Hey. So, again, first, I just really want to thank you for just agreeing to take the time to let me pick your brain, because honestly, I constantly want to do this.
You're too sweet. I'm honored to be your first interview.
So I know that I pick your brain in general over like one question topics and one subject topics, but this conversation, I think, will probably be the most like eclectic conversation we've had in a very long time.
Let's go.
And so, because, you know, this is for my blog, just a brief intro on who you are, because we've known each other since like the 10th grade.
We're not going to say how old we are. Relax.
I didn't say years.
Okay. Yeah.
10th grade. Okay. So, and you know, honestly, like, I just remember you moving into my neighborhood, you know, starting life in Stafford, and you were just immediately this boss lady. Like from the get-go, you had this aura about you that it was kind of like you were always at our school, even though you had only been there a week. Like, immediately got along with everyone. You were immediately like becoming, you know, the president of DECA and all these organizations and be a part of all these dance clubs. And I could not think of a better person to ask about being willing to change or, you know, just being accepting or open to change than you, because I feel like there have been these different areas of your life where it seems like you had one niche or this was like your identity. And then the next day you're like, no, I think this is the next avenue or the next journey in my life. And often we tell ourselves like something needs to change, or there are times when we know what needs to change, or something's missing and we can't figure it out until like God puts all these little clues in our lives and is like, hello.
There's something wrong here. You need to do something.
Exactly. So I just wanted to pick your brain about how you know, left high school.
Yeah.
To Switzerland.
Correct.
Totally different country, left everything behind.
Right.
Then after Switzerland, you moved to Oakland for over 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. Over 10 years. And now you're in Austin, Texas.
Correct.
And you went from being in Oakland, a person that owned her own company, the organization, personal organizing, a very stressful career, by the way. And but that was your thing. That's how we knew Jill. We knew Jill as a person that was always, you know, telling people what to do, how to do it, and doing it freaking well.
I'm like honored yet embarrassed that that's how I'm described. But yeah.
That was your thing and you did it well. And people around like that are close to you respect that so much from you. Now you're totally the Zen artistic person that has really put her mental, physical health first. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, from your words, not mine, felt more powerful than you ever have in your life.
Excuse my French, but fucks with me, bruh.
So I just really want to start, you know, that's my preface to why I really want to talk to you about this interview. And I really want to start about how you grew up. You are the oldest of three daughters,
correct?
Right? Your mom, full-time NICU nurse, still is a full-time NICU nurse.
At two hospitals.
Okay, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, my mom works at two different hospitals.
And your dad has always been a stay-at-home dad. And I feel like as the oldest, you may have always had like high expectations to live up to, especially seeing like your mom as this like Filipino Chinese powerhouse.
Right.
So like, what did you feel were your expectations in life growing up? And what childhood experiences kind of led to those expectations?
Oh my God, pause. I need to like bring on my debate background. I need to get my legal pad. I need to get my pen. I need to take notes. Stand by, pause, everyone.
Yeah.
Okay, she's back.
Take your time.
Let's start with the loaded questions. Jill Baby loves nothing more. One, repeat.
Like, what did you feel were your expectations in life growing up?
What
childhood experiences led you to believe those expectations?
Oh, Lord have mercy. Here we go. Childhood experiences lead to that. I think the child, you know, I am the firstborn American on both sides of my family. So whether or not I knew it, there were a lot of expectations that came with that. And I think any firstborn, especially a woman as progressive as my parents are now, we still have these unconscious expectations and unconscious biases and all of those things that we have to live up to. I'm sure congruent with everyone else's Asian American experience, there are, you know, three things you can be: a doctor, a lawyer, or a nurse, right?
Yes.
Maybe an accountant. Sorry. Doctor, lawyer, accountant, one of those things. And so actually my middle sister is an accountant and my baby sister is a nurse. And I was definitely supposed to be the lawyer person because I was captain of the debate team. I've always had this big mouth. I could BS my way out of 2 + 2 = 5, okay? So I definitely felt the responsibility to live up to that expectation, number one. When you are the eldest, whether you like it or not, you become the caretaker and the responsible one for your siblings. This is unintentional on your parents' part, but it's something that I learned later on led to a lot of resentment. Why did you let your sister do this? Why did you let your sister do that? So when you're the oldest, you have to fulfill your duties as like an individual, but you also have to fulfill your duties to your family. On top of that, fulfilling your duties to your family is getting married, having children, all of those things, which truly shaped the first 30 years of my life. Whether or not my parents communicated those expectations verbatim was not an issue. These were just understood facts. And I think a lot of firstborns can kind of relate to that. What childhood experiences led me to believe that these expectations? I mean, from a very young age, girls are always asked, so do you have a boyfriend? Right? Rather, my Lola would call from the Philippines and be like, so Jillian, my boyfriend kana ba? Literally, I can remember since I was 7. So when you're a woman or female on top of all of that, there was so much pressure, right, to get married and have children. And on top of that, because your parents have worked so hard to come to this country, you also have to work hard to be the lawyer, the doctor, the accountant, whatever it might be. In my childhood, a lot of my family members emphasized money and emphasized power. Again, that's an immigrant mentality, right, where they had to come and provide. And whether or not they realized it, they were communicating those expectations to me. So I am someone who, on top of the personality that God already bestowed on me, right, was given, you know, a family structure who expected a lot. I think, again, most Asian Americans can relate, or most people in general. where it was expected for me to have a good, stable 9-to-5 job, to marry, to produce the first set of grandchildren, and set the example for my siblings, which is a burden that is not intentional, but is put upon all firstborn children.
Right. So what did you feel like would happen if you didn't conform?
Oh, the big D. Disappointment.
Yeah.
There is, for me, no worse word in the English language than the word disappointment. Upset is something else. Anger is something else. But disappointment is felt so much deeper than anger, and so much deeper than any other emotion for me. So yeah. I had to set the example. I could not let people down. I had a persona that not only I have naturally, but that was, you know, compounded by my surroundings, that I had to live up to. So I feared disappointing everyone and not setting the precedent for everyone else.
So when you, I know that, like, one, for me, I feel like disappointment probably pushed me to pursue my dreams. Mm-hmm. Like the fear of disappointment pushed me to pursue my dreams rather than like being pulled towards my dreams by themselves. Like, I feel like it was always, you know, something back here that was like, hey, you have to do this, because if you don't, you're going to let everyone in your family and your friends down. So I know that you took a big jump, probably with that in the back of your mind, to move to Switzerland.
Yes.
And get this really expensive degree.
Correct.
Mind you. And if I remember correctly, was it like international communications or something like
that? It was originally international marketing, but I eventually switched it to international banking and finance and economics. And let me, it's so funny, because I think, you know, many of us try to do exactly what our parents want, right? And then when you try to do it, then there's pushback. So I remember fighting tooth and nail for my parents to go to this school.
Oh, really?
Oh my God, I can see in my brain right now, the conversation at the dinner table, trying to sign these FAFSA loan papers, which 10 times harder when your immigrant parents don't understand what this paperwork means, or the potential consequences, right? Of and then, mind you, this is 2007. Oh my God, financial crisis. We're not even gonna go down that route. Here I was, right? Here I was trying to do and trying to live up to what was expected of me. Go get an education, finance, whatever it might be, and let alone with a European education. And my parents were against it.
And why Switzerland? Like,
why not? Why not?
Fair enough.
You know, because of the expectations that I had set before me, I knew I was going to get married young and have children and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because that was what I was taught to do, right? After college, my goals and my focus were supposed to shift to a family. And I was like, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. And I do not regret it for a single second. I am so glad I had all of those life experiences between 18 and 24, or whatever, how old I was. I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm so glad that I had those life experiences when I did. And to go, I think your question was, you know, why did I go? Despite.
Yeah, like why Switzerland? Why not in the US? But I mean, I feel like you just totally answered that. Like, you're right. Why not, while that opportunity is at hand, and it's, you have that opportunity?
The real answer, which God, only like three people know this. Jesus, here we go, Grace. this one's not so private, but one, I grew up with my uncle, who was like my father, who worked at the United Nations. So I have always had an international mindset. I was very fortunate to be able to travel to Holland, Germany, and Turkey when I was like 13 years old for like 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. My parents put me on a plane by myself for the first time when I was 7. So this is all their fault. Let me just be clear. So one, you know, I always grew up with an international mindset, and I did not plan in any way, shape, or form on staying in the United States for my, you know, secondary education. And then two, to get hella personal, here we go. I was in actually a really emotionally and verbally abusive relationship at the time. And I saw me going to Switzerland as my way out.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, I didn't know that.
Nobody knows that except literally two people.
So So I know that there are a lot of people that are currently living emotionally, physically, like financially abusive relationships, like just toxic relationships. And I feel like COVID has really exacerbated that.
Absolutely.
Extreme. And not a lot of people have the opportunity to leave,
right,
let alone another country.
Yeah.
If that opportunity wasn't presented to you, how do you think you would have left? Like, looking back at it now, what advice would you give your college self?
I don't know, because I honestly can't answer that question, because I truly believe everything happens for a purpose. And that was the answer at the time. And I'm so thankful that the universe aligned to allow me that opportunity. But Switzerland was, oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, here you are trying to live up to your parents' expectations by getting this higher education in finance in a European city. What's more glamorous? Yet they're fighting you for it. So what a conflict of messages, right? Here I am growing up saying, I have to do these things X, Y, Z. Here I am trying to do them, but you're like, no.
Yeah.
Too much money.
Yeah.
Which again, you have to understand, right? I am I'm the firstborn child. So my parents' economic status at the time that I was going to college was completely different from my parents' economic status by the time my baby sister, who was 10 years younger than me, went to college.
Right.
So my parents did not have the same disposable income that they had 10 years later when my baby sister went to college. So I just stood my ground, which is just who I am. I'm sure you can attest to this. I stood my ground and I said, this is where I'm going to school.
And I think that it's important to highlight, like, also youth, even though you can really give like advice to your college self, you saw the opportunity and you knew you were going to take it. Like, regardless what barriers are being thrown your way, you're like, there's no way this is how I'm going to change my situation.
Correct.
And I'm going to take it. Like, a lot of people would have sat on that opportunity or may have been too scared to take that opportunity. But it doesn't sound like fear was in your state of mind here.
Fear, aside from like drowning in like open water, right? Like, let's be real. Fear is not something that stops me. I understand that fear can be paralyzing for some people. And the issue, growth happens right beyond fear. Growth happens right beyond pain. And it's inherently who I am, but I would rather go through the pain so that I can get to that growth. Because something that I realized lately is that growth is the thing that I value the most. We're not on this planet for 70 years to be stagnant, right?
Yeah.
I say 70 because like everybody in my family chokes at like 72. So like, let's hope that everybody else lives longer, right? Sorry, I'm also.
I'm sending positive vibes your way.
Right. My bad. I have a very dark, morbid sense of humor. Sorry, listeners. I'm like, damn, I'm halfway there. just kidding. No, I'm not. I am just, you know, I cannot speak to anyone else. I can only speak to myself. And fear is not a thing in my world. Fear is not a thing.
Okay, so in Switzerland, you know, finish school.
Yeah.
And then it was time for a next phase, which was moving to Switzerland.
Yeah.
And that meant that you would be moving in with your boyfriend for the first time, or with a boyfriend for the first time, right? And packing up all your stuff into a city you've never lived in before.
Never been to, Grace.
I didn't even know that. Never been to.
You learning a whole lot, Bobby. You thought you knew me, Grace.
I thought I did. This is why I say I I've been wanting to pick your brain forever.
Yeah.
So was there any fear of the unknown of that move? There was a lot of unknowns on the other end. Let's be real. No fear there.
I moved to Switzerland with 3 suitcases and $150 because my parents refused to give me anything, not even an iPod, not even a digital camera, not even I mean, they sent me maybe about $150 a month while I was there, and that was it. I washed dishes, I babysat children and taught them English. I did phone-a-thons from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning so that it was morning in America to ask for donations for our school. I made that move with three suitcases and $150. I left Switzerland again. Well, this time with like four suitcases, let's be real, because I bought some stuff. with four suitcases and probably $0.
Wow.
Yeah. And trusting in myself and trusting in love. And I had nothing. I had never been to San Francisco. I had never been to Oakland in my entire life.
Right. Wow. And you ended up falling in love with the city.
No, I moved for a person who I loved dearly and still do love. But to answer your question, yes, there was so much unknown on the other side of that. But that is something that for me is normal. So right. I was let me back up. I was born and raised in the Bronx, New York. Right. And my parents uprooted our life, when I was a preteen, to Texas. So much unknown there. And I think that was my first encounter with being comfortable, with the unknown. Right. And then I moved to Switzerland and there's more unknown. So the unknown does not scare me. Actually, change in the unknown excites me more than anything else.
Well, I guess, you are better than me.
No, stop it. No. Not better, just different. And this is an issue different. I think, let me stop you there because, syntax and word choice is very important. And I don't think that I'm better than anyone else. I think that we are all different. And my strengths are someone else's weaknesses and someone else's, strengths are my weaknesses, right? So I am not here to say that I am any better or any less than anyone. I can only report on my life experience and hope that it might inspire someone else.
Good point. Absolutely. And I think that's always been like one of my barriers to change. Just mm-hmm. I'm very comfortable with being comfortable, mm-hmm. like finally getting my feet up under me, like knowing where I am in life. And I feel like all of my big milestones in life or big changes yep. were kind of out of force.
Yes.
I did not want to find out what was on the other side of the unknown.
Right.
I
think I think that's the case for most people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to hear how like the unknown excites you. Yes. And I think a lot of people can really learn from that and realize that on the other side is growth. Like regardless if there's pain involved or challenges involved, at the end of it, you're going to grow somehow. Mm-hmm. And I really think that is a key takeaway there. And so when you got to Oakland,
yeah,
how would you describe the type of person, your personality, your career choices, like what you wanted? How would you describe the type of person you were when you got there?
Oh my God. Okay. Ooh, yes, Lord. Let me go back one step and say, that to your point, a lot of the times that you've grown were when you were like uncomfortable, right? Is essentially what you were saying. People operate from one of two places, from fear or from love. Bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
That fear can be so paralyzing that you don't move. That love could be so moving that you move all the time. Right.
Right.
And I think that, and I can only speak to my experience. I have such a love for life that the change that I know will lead to growth is the most exciting thing. Yeah. And that is something that is inherent in me. Right. I cannot explain where that came from. I mean, we can actually go back to the fact that my mother is the only one of 9 children to leave the Philippines to come to America. Right. So there's definitely, yeah, there's definitely some kind of genetic predisposition here. Like I'm not going to discount that. I'm not just some magical unicorn being who is like so special. No. Right. Like like, let me check myself, right? Like, no, I'm a product of my ancestors and I'm a product of my family. And all of the things that they have experienced have led me to where I am now, which who I am now is breaking molds, which we'll get to later. So breaking molds, going back to your question, when I got to Oakland, what was my personality, my career choice, et cetera? I was still living for other people at that point.
Oh, I felt that statement. Ooh,
I saw that. Woo. I'm sure. That hit me kind of hard there. Listen, you know, I laugh hard. I hit people physically and emotionally. Okay, holler. I was still living for other people at that point. I moved to California for someone else. Yeah. I chose finance because that's what was, you know, more or less expected of me because I was like, I don't want to do law school. But I was living for my parents' expectations. I was living for the expectations that I put on myself as a function of being a first generation Asian American woman, you know, et cetera, put all the other adverbs after that. I was still living for other people. My career choice, finance did not make me happy. Literally, the only reason I chose international banking and finance and international economics was because I went into my school in Switzerland saying I was going to be like this major. And someone said to me, come on, you're better than that. And I was like, damn it, you're right. Also, I'm competitive as hell. So you know what? If you're going to tell me I'm better than that, I'm going to show you that I am.
Yeah.
Even then, I didn't choose that major for myself.
Yeah.
I chose because someone challenged me and I don't play. So I was like, sure, I'm going to do IBF, IE, and I'm going to show you. Right. And so, yes, when I got to Switzerland, I was still living for other people. My personality was, you know, still all up in myself and the expectations that I had set for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I graduated and began a career in finance, which I thought was the right thing. And I was so excited to be walking to my office in my sneakers and my business suit and then get to the office and change into heels. I wanted nothing more because I grew up in New York watching women do that on the subway every day. Hustling, right?
Hustling. You idealized this.
Yeah. I wanted nothing more than to be one of those women who woke up, sent the kids off to school, wore her sneakers on the fucking train, then got off the train, got to her desk, put her heels on, did the damn thing, left at 5 o'clock, picked up the kids from, you know, after school, made the dinner, fed the husband, did it again and again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I ever wanted. So when I moved to Oakland in 2010, I was still on the path of fulfilling that dream, which is what I thought I wanted.
Right. And so is it fair to say that really what you thought you wanted wasn't what you wanted at all?
It's beyond fair, Grace Ann Young.
It was really just all of these, you know, life experiences and expectations compounded over
compound time. Interest to the power of infinity. One more time for the people in the back. Turn the speakers up for the choir. I mean.
So, and then, you know, one day you literally, not one day, but then you started this plan to start your own business, the organization, you know, and go from finance. And you said, I'm going to do something for my freaking self.
Yeah.
And, you know, I kind of think that maybe you also went into this business because you're so dang good at it. You're phenomenal at organizing not only people's lives at home, but events like weddings and showers, whatever the event may be. And, you know, it's something that people always reached out for your help on, and you might as well make it into a business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a while there, like that was you, I want to say it took up a lot of your time.
Oh, mon Dieu. Yeah. I mean, let me also say that I would not have started that business without my mentor. And I think that is a key to make sure that we keep the theme of change and growth in mind as we continue this conversation. That was key. So my mentor was actually my boss at the financial planning firm that I worked at. And she saw my skill set. And I was very young. And I was very dumb, and I was recruited away from the financial planning firm into another job because someone else was hella talking me up. And I was like, oh my God, you believe in me. Yay. So I left. That job didn't work out, and I was unemployed for a little while. And my mentor said to me, hey, I know you're not doing too much right now, but she knows who I am and what I'm good at. She's like, can you come over and to my house and help me like reorganize my art studio downstairs? Oh, yeah, sure, whatever. So I go over to her house and I, you know, color code the paints and I size organize the brushes because this is just the way that my brain works. Mm-hmm. My brain has always worked this way. I gave an interview for the Asian American Journal a couple of years ago and they're like, when did this start? I was like, literally when I was 4 and I was part of the Barney fan club. You can ask my mother. They would send you a VHS every month and I would line up the VHSs in order of receive. In order of when I received them, wait for the mailman to come, take the box, put the newest one at the end of the line, step back and be like,
Oh my goodness.
They are in order. And then I would put them back.
Oh my goodness.
So that's just who I am. So anyway, so my mentor was like, come over, organize my art studio, which I did. And she was like, you know, people would pay you for this.
Right.
And I was like, but why? It did not, it literally did not cross my mind that other people did not think that way. And that's not to say, you know, and that's not to say that I've had many office jobs before that. But the difference was that in all of those office jobs, I was the one doing it because everyone let me do it because I was good at it.
Right.
And so when my mentor was like, people would pay you for this, you should start a business. I'm like, ¿qué? ¿Cómo? What? And I looked into it more and found out there was this whole industry behind professional organizing. And that, yes, you know what? My skill set is different from your skill set is different from your skill set. And when you think about it in the economic terms, it's all about supply and demand and resources or lack thereof, right? So the way that I think is a certain kind of supply. And your lack of resources leads to a certain type of demand. And so I can fulfill that. So I started my business, the organization in 2014 when I was unemployed. And trying to make something happen. Because at that point, honestly, I felt like a complete failure because of the expectations that were set forth, not only by my parents and by society, but most importantly by myself. I should have been an international banker traveling the world, brokering all the deals. But here I was. And so I started the business in 2014 with the support of my partner at the time. And I truly enjoy helping make other people's lives easier. If I can go through something and experience it and make and go through it and extract the most important parts of it and make it more efficient for you, whether that's your closet or your life,
right?
That's what I'm all about. So yeah.
And so I want to go back really quick because I'm really glad you brought this up because I have a mentor. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like 20 years older than me, lives in Minnesota. I've never met him before in my life.
Wow.
It's through my job. Mm-hmm. And he's been my mentor for 3-4 years now. And I feel like his advice has really been important in my next steps in my career. Now, we were paired together by my job. So I didn't pick him, he didn't pick me. Some other people pick this through a mentorship program. What? How did you pick your mentor?
I did not pick. I have never picked my mentors. They have, the universe has brought them to me. I can break them down in different stages of life. And it's because I was open to it, going to the theme of this, open to change, right? I have always been willing and I've always understood that there was someone better than me. I don't like it. Let's be real. Let's bring it back. I'll like it. But I understand the value of experience. I understand the value the wisdom that comes with that experience. So throughout my life, I have been very fortunate, which I completely understand, not very many people are, to have been given different life mentors for every stage of life that I've been in. So they were not chosen for me. The universe brought them to me.
So do they know that they were your mentors?
Absolutely, because the only other thing that's most important besides love is gratitude.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh man, I felt that. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
I have think you could read the Asian American Journal newspaper article where I have told this story 10,000 times. I will continue to tell this story 10,000 times because if it wasn't for my mentor believing in me and saying, "Hey, people would pay you for this. You could start a business." I honestly would never have thought about it. And
so,
yeah.
No, I was just gonna say, like, so to start a mentorship authentically, did you just build a connection with someone and say, "Hey, their advice is so valuable to my life, I don't want to let this person go"?
Correct. And all of the time, those people have been much older than me. And I continue. I have new mentors who are in their 70s. We have lunch. We have three and a half hour long lunches with lots of martinis. You know who you are. If you ever listen to this, you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, you have to be open. And that is what leads to change and growth, is you have to be open. You have to understand. You have to put your ego aside.
Okay.
Which I think is the biggest issue for all human beings, right? Yeah. We inherently have egos because we're human. And to understand that you don't know everything is the most humbling thing. So when you put your ego aside and you open yourself up to people who are smarter than you, to people who are better than you, again, I don't like it, but I will accept this fact. That is where growth comes. And that I guess at the end of the day is what I have tried to do through my life and through my business. Whatever I have extracted from these mentors that I have learned, whatever I have extracted through my life experiences, how can I share that with other people so that their lives are made a little bit easier, so that they can grow a little bit faster and a little bit more efficiently and a little bit better than I was able to.
So if I know that you said your mentor was a key player in making that next jump to start your own company.
Mm-hmm.
How big was community in this initial phase? Like your friends, your family, or was it something that you were like, "You know what? This is a decision that I've decided to make. I'm not going to get too much of you pointing on it. I'm just going to do it."
Oh my God. I wish the people could see me shaking back and forth. I lead with my gut first and foremost.
Okay.
I make a decision. I trust myself, but I'm only allowed to bring those decisions to fruition and to be successful at all of those decisions because of the community that is around me.
Mm-hmm.
I have the most amazing network of loyal friends, which I'm gonna, you know, yes, there are acquaintances and all that kind of stuff, but I have the most amazing network of loyal friends, mind you, in New York, in Switzerland, in Texas, in California, spread out, who have all different life experiences and different points of view simply because they are from many different places. Mm-hmm. And so absolutely not. I'm not like, "No, this is what I want. It basta." I'm like, "This is what I want to do." I reach out to my network and I am so fortunate that those people have lifted me up. I would not have this business if it wasn't for my friends in the very beginning. I could go back to my Gmail and be like, "Hey guys, here's my first blog post. Can you please reshare?"
Yeah.
You know that. I sent it to you.
I do remember that.
That's right.
I do clearly remember that, like it was yesterday.
That's right. And people have always shown up for me and I'm so thankful. And I did not do any of this alone. Listen. You take that first step on your own. No one else can take that first step besides you. But that second step and this next step after that, and in order to run and to get where you need to be, you need other people.
So I'm so glad you said that, because there are a lot of people, especially now. Again, we're in the time of COVID. In Texas, things are starting to get just a little bit more normal because Texas, let's be real. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a lot of states in the U.S. that aren't still not to that point where they're letting people go out in restaurants or anything like that. So people are isolated at home.
Right.
That being said, there are people that feel like their friendships have dissipated, that or they don't really trust their hopes, dreams, aspirations to the friends that they have. They may not feel like they're not that loyal. For those people that may not have a strong network or honestly just feel alone, but they have aspirations, how should they go about building that network? I also think that community is important. It's one of, honestly, I've read, you know, a lot of articles on centennials and how they've lived long lives. And some people drink Dr. Pepper every day. Some people smoke every day, still over 100 years old. And they're still over 100. But one thing that remains consistent is that they have a community.
Right.
So I think it's really important to keep a community.
Yeah.
But how do people go about, you know, especially in, you know, the world of COVID, building this community around that?
It is so hard in today's day and age where the internet has actually, it's brought us together, but it's also separated us at the same time. And then you had a pandemic on top of that. And I mean, friendships, just as any other relationship, take a lot of hard work. And I don't know why, but when you were asking me this question about how somebody who may not have the support network or whatever, whatever, how can they get out of it? They have to get out of it themselves. And the first thing that came to my mind was therapy.
There's a lot of fully booked therapists right now.
That's right, because this shit is hard, bruh.
It is. Yeah,
this shit is hard. Also, let me speak specifically right now to millennials, right, who we have been through no internet and internet. We have been through 9/11. We have been through a financial crisis. We have been through a global warming and a fucking pandemic. I am surprised that any of us are still standing.
Not to mention, we're the one generation that is impacted by student loans the worst.
Don't even get me started on the amount of money that I owe. And my biggest advice is therapy. Seeking that outside counsel. You know, as much as I love my friends, and you know, because I call you every 5 seconds when I'm trying to figure something out. Seeking that, you know, third party opinion who doesn't know anyone else in your circle besides you is really important. And the only way you can build community is to get out of yourself first. Because again, that in and of itself is a humbling act. Back to, you have to understand that you're not the smartest person in the room. You have to understand that there is advice and there's wisdom to be given by other people.
Right.
But only you can get out of that.
And that's interesting because, I mean, I have been to virtual wine tastings.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not a big wine
drinker. As I sip my wine right now. Yeah, keep talking. Go ahead.
And I have been to, like, you know, Airbnb has this virtual experience thing that's pretty cool. And honestly, I feel like I know a lot of people, but I still have that handful of people that I can only really trust with asking them their opinion on something because those dreams and aspirations are so sensitive to me.
Ooh, let me write down the words. Let me write down the words. Keep talking. I'm listening, but I'm writing down the words right now.
Like for me, I know if I get the wrong response, I will totally shut down.
Yeah.
Or I'll just give up. Yeah. And you know, that dream is now not forever forgotten, but now in my mind, attainable. And have you ever experienced that? And if you have, how did you get over it?
Have I experienced what?
Like just the negative reaction.
Oh my God. Let me talk about the biggest negative reaction, which is your parents, which are the people who are supposed to support you the most. Sorry, mom and dad, I'm about to hella call you out. Like every other Asian parent. Listen, you laugh.
I can relate, Jill. That's
why. Claro que sí. Ya lo sé. Okay, you laugh because you can relate. Oh my God. We have all faced like that negativity. And let me back up. I wrote down this is one of my taglines. Going back to your point about how like COVID and all this stuff, humans relate to humans. So it's really hard, even though you're doing all of these virtual things, to connect and relate to other people, which again, props to us millennials for going through all of this stuff. All right. I always try to have the most important conversations in person. because there is so much to be said for body language and tone of voice and emotions and all of those things.
Yeah.
And also the most important thing here is vulnerability, which is scary. Cause like you said, if you face negative feedback, you shut down, and nobody gives you more negative feedback than your parents.
Yep, that is true.
I was gonna like say something because I know you're gonna agree. Okay. Yep. Nobody gives you, which is funny because it comes from a place of love, right? And we know that deep, deep down. We may not know that between the ages of like 0 and 25, but you hit like 26, 27, you start to realize some shit, right? Yep. And you're like, that negative feedback and that questioning and everything is because they've been through life. Going back to, it's a humbling thing to understand that you don't know everything.
Right.
They have experienced things that you haven't. Obviously, my parents' experience as immigrants coming to this country is very different from mine as being a first generation Asian American, right? Pacific Islander, whatever. We're not going to get into semantics here. But it comes from a place of love and from fear at the same time. And so yeah. When I have faced that negativity, yeah. I have just, you know, again, I lead with my gut, and I have just trusted in myself and known that as long as I listen to myself, even though for a very long time that goal and that message was convoluted by everyone else's expectations, I still did what I felt was right for me, right? Going to yeah. Switzerland, moving to Oakland, et cetera, et cetera. And none of those decisions have stirred me wrong. So in the face of negativity, especially when it comes from your parents, take that into consideration,
mm-hmm.
but understand that your parents are individuals in and of themselves, and you are an individual. And that their life experiences have molded and shaped the way that they are responding to your wishes right now.
Yeah.
Take that into consideration and you make your move from there.
And I really want to stress, like, I think, because me as a mom now, mm-hmm. like when Dorian comes to me with something, like, and I respond negatively, I have to put myself in check because I'm like, I just don't want him to be disappointed, or I don't want him to do this. Yeah. Like, that's my fear,
right.
But I can't push that on him. And right. I think that's important when it comes to taking, you know, not even just our parents, you know, opinions, like
anyone's
opinions into consideration. And like, I really want to like talk about the biggest change for you right now. Which was moving from Oakland to Texas. Because not only did you, now what's different with this change from the other, you know, two moves is yeah. that you went from being a, you know, this boss lady organization person
yeah.
that, you know, worked a very stressful career.
Yeah.
Again, to a very zen lifestyle, you know, putting yourself first, your mental health first, and now you are a full-time artist. You really express yourself in your art, and you sell it as well, and you probably never saw yourself making a living this way, because that wasn't, these weren't the expectations you had as a child.
I wish the readers could see how I'm making a circle around all of the things you just said. What's your question for me, Grace?
So I want to know,
yeah.
like, what, or it may not just be one single thing,
yeah.
but what clues or what scenarios were put into your life that said, hey,
yeah,
like, what was the epiphany moment, I guess?
Yeah. Oh my God. Hey,
yeah. I need to change this X, Y, and Z. Live a happier life.
I think so many of us, again, and I speak to millennials who have been through so many things, are like, we were not taught to follow our passions, right? We were taught, you go to college, you pay for this education, you will reap the benefits from said education. Then life happened, then financial crisis happened, then all the things happened, and that was not the case. And here the rest of us are trying to find our passions. I have always pursued my passion because I'm a very passionate person, which is why I'm so vocal and curse a lot and all the fucking things. Sorry. But my passion shifted all of a sudden. So mm-hmm. there was absolutely, so I put myself in a box. because of the expectations, let's go back to the very first question that were set before me. I put myself in a box. I said, these are the things I need to do because this is what people expect of me. Right. Nobody said those things explicitly. They right. were just what I observed, what I absorbed, and what I formulated. And so for the first 30 years of my life, I was living my life according to all of the check boxes on the list. You graduate high school, you graduate college, you start a career, you get married, you maybe go to grad school, then you have children, then you blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And me being the Aries that I am loves to-do lists and goals and expectations. So I was on the path to, you know, fulfilling all of those things because that's the only thing that I knew. What was the epiphany? Oh my gosh. You know, I was living my life and doing my business and supporting my partner and all of those things. And all of a sudden I had a dinner with an old friend. Oh, you disappeared. Are you still there?
Yep. I'm still here. I'm still here. Keep talking.
Okay. I had a dinner with an old friend and I felt something in my chest. And the only way I can describe it is that I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling for the first time in a long time. Because when you're trying to complete all of those tasks and all of those goals and all of those checklist things, you forget about your feelings because you're so set on the task at hand. Mm-hmm. And so I woke up one day and I was like, whoa, feelings, what is this? Like, wow.
Yeah. What are these feelings of my own?
My own that are not other, correct, Grace, that are not put on me by anyone else or anyone else's expectations or society or anything like that. Yeah. So I woke up one day. Like, I mean, I hate to sound so cliche that it was just one day I woke up. Everything led to this moment, right? In its own way. Mm-hmm. But I woke up and I was like, something is not right. And I was like, there's more to this life. And I need to do something about it. And the answer was not clear at first at all. But I knew that something was missing and that I had to do something about it. So one day I was living life according to the checklist. And I can actually I can see very clearly in my head when I got married, there were boxes that you had to check off on the paper to get married in church. And it was like baptism, this date and here, you know, confirmation, communion, this date and here. Confirmation, this date in here, last box, wedding, this date in here, you know, so like very literally I was living according to this checklist, if you will. I had dinner with an old friend and I just woke up and I was like, wow, feelings, there's more to life than this checklist. I didn't realize I had been asleep for so long, living a life that was not true to me. At no one else's fault but my own, right? Because I was standing in my own way. Let's make that clear. And that was the epiphany moment. I was like, something is not right. There's more to this. I feel it. Literally, I feel it in my chest, in my heart. And I have not felt that in a long time.
So was the change gradual? Like, what step did you take after that to make these changes in your life?
So that was a jolt to my system. Quite literally. And then it was a slow and steady process from there. I just examined my feelings on a day-to-day basis and noticed that they weren't changing and that I kept feeling not right about myself. Mm-hmm. And eventually started voicing those opinions to my partner and just saying, like, I need to go to therapy. Going back to therapy. I need to talk to somebody who doesn't know me, who doesn't know anybody else, but who just knows me and just knows us. So we started originally with couples therapy, which I expanded to individual therapy, which I actually would say should have been reversed. I should have done individual therapy first and then couples therapy, but hey, therapy's therapy. So we make it work. And I just felt in my body and in my chest that something was wrong and that I was not living to my fullest and truest potential, which is funny because on the outside, given who I am and you know me, that I was.
Right?
Right.
No, absolutely.
Absolutely. I got married. I started the business. I'm living my life on the surface. And to me also, what more?
Right.
What more? But I literally felt it in my body that something was not right and that I was not living up to my fullest potential. And I decided to do something about it.
So I know that I know that a lot of people don't take that big step to move from whatever it is they're doing to whatever it is they want to do. One, because I mean, not just from a millennial standpoint, but I'm talking to millennials here because we got the student loans going on and just a lot going on, rents going up, housing's going up.
Also, I lived in the Bay, okay, where the poverty line for a family of four is $120,000, people.
Oh, I see.
You literally can't even process.
Yeah, I couldn't process that. Yeah. I mean, childcare is freaking mortgage now, so people with, you know, kids, they're just like, financially, I cannot do this. Yeah. I cannot pursue my dreams because it's not a realistic expectation. Well, how did you, you know, overcome that barrier?
Oh my God. Again, because I was open to the universe and the things that it was providing me. I was very fortunate to be provided with I call it a W-2 job because that's what it was, you know, as opposed to my business. I was given the opportunity for a W-2 job, even just for a few months. And that job was what allowed me to save for this transitionary period, if you will. Okay. And I didn't even know that that's what I was saving for.
Wow. Again, you saw an opportunity and you took it.
Absolutely. And that, again, going back to the theme is not, wait, also pause, not all opportunities should be taken. Okay. Just because it's presented to you doesn't mean you should take it.
Okay.
You have to think about, like, I'm someone who has always led with my gut. So I felt, for whatever reason, that this was an opportunity to take. And I didn't realize until later why the universe gave me that opportunity. But it led to this transitionary period where, because of that opportunity, I was able to sustain myself for, which was a trial separation, right? And which was a big catalyst because I knew I needed to take some time for myself, to cocoon myself, to get to know myself and my wants and my needs, in a way that I never had before. So that was the biggest, most scariest change possible that I could have done. And only because I was open to the universe's opportunities before was I able to take care of myself during that period of time.
So you mentioned, you know, taking the time for yourself.
Yeah.
I know that that's, again, like a lot of people's barrier to change. Like they're like, I just don't have the time.
Listen.
Ready?
No.
Oh, okay.
Anything is possible. You make the time. If something is really important to you, if someone is really important to you, you make the time and you make the effort. I know people who have flown across the country to have a conversation with someone. If something really matters,
yes. Wow.
If something really matters to you,
yeah,
you will make it happen. And no one else should really matter to you more than yourself. If you can show up for everyone else and fly across the country to have a conversation saying, I want you back, yada, yada, I don't know, you know, whatever it might be. If you can do that for someone else, why can't you do it for yourself? Because at the end of the day, you were born in this. I'm full of deep things, Grace. No one ever asks me. Everybody just thinks I'm here with the clipboard telling you what to do, but I have thoughts. I have feelings. I didn't know before, but I know now. I'm being real.
Jill 2.0.
I mean, I've always had these thoughts and these feelings, but nobody has taken the time to ask me because I was not open to people asking me these questions.
And, you know, I think that's really key here because honestly, I would not, like I said, I've been wanting to pick your brain.
But you didn't before now. Because I was standing in my own way, right? I was living in this box of expectations to circle back the entire conversation, right? I was living in this box of expectations and standards that were put upon me unintentionally by my culture, by my parents, by my surroundings, by my economic situation, by whatever. And only until I stepped out of that box on my own was I able to access my true self, which now in turn has allowed other people to access me in a way that I did not allow anyone to access me before.
So I want to, you know, I could actually make this conversation go on all day, but in interest of time and your time, I really want to highlight what are three key things. Like if somebody listens to this or reads this, and they don't walk away with anything else from this conversation, what are the three things you would want to tell them into taking that next career step or taking that next move or to taking that next relationship step, whatever that big change is? What are the three takeaways they should consider before making that change, or if they should make that change?
I am laughing because I literally wrote down three things, blah, blah, and I wrote one, two, three. And gosh, this just goes to show how much our childhood affects us. The thing that is popping into my head right now is stop, look, and listen. When you cross the street, right? Oh, this is about to get hella deep. Oh God. Wow. I'm surprising myself right now. Grace, you can edit this out. But stop, look, and listen to yourself. I can't even elaborate right now because that shit was actually so simple yet so deep, and that was off the top of the dome. And if there's three things, if there was anything that I want anyone to take from this, it's stop, look, and listen. And I have done that for myself in the past very quickly. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know I need to go to college. I need to get away from this relationship. I'm gonna go to Switzerland. Basta così, right? Stop, look, listen, make a move. And as I've gotten older, I've learned to really give myself the space emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically to stop, look, and listen. And my whole life, people have been, my mother more than anyone else has been telling me, Jillian, slow down, stop, smell the roses. I'm like, I don't care about the roses, whatever. You know, they're right there.
Right.
But no one else could teach me that lesson properly besides myself. And you have to stop, look, and listen, and trust yourself. And that is the only way that you will be open to change and to growth, because no one knows you like you know you.
And Jill, like, I actually, like, that was actually a really profound statement.
Yo, I'm profound as fuck, Grace. People don't know.
Sorry. Like, also, before you cross the street, you stop, look, and listen to do one or two things. To see if a freaking bus is about to freaking hit you.
I wish people could see me right now. Because
because you're not going to take that step. You're not going to take, you know, that chance crossing the street if it's putting yourself in harm. Danger.
Oh my God, I'm going to write a book. It's going to be called Stop, Look, and Listen. We've decided right now.
This is really amazing. And, you know, but if, you know, God, life, the universe,
whoever
gives you that opportunity to freaking cross the street.
Cross it.
Cross the freaking street.
The traffic is not coming right at you. Because listen, if you wait 1 second more, it's going to come and it's going to hit you. And, you know, I straddle a line between impulsiveness and, it's a very thin line. I'm not going to lie. I can be a very... contrary to popular belief, as organized and as planned as I am, I can be very impulsive and I can be very spontaneous. Only very few people know this side of me. But that kind of goes to that point about crossing the street, right? Like, you see it's blinking. It's got a few seconds left, right? You see the cars coming. You're calculating. Do I cross? Do I not cross? It's got 3 seconds. It's yellow. Like, you know, whatever. But only you can make that decision.
Right. Absolutely.
Only you. And the hardest part is trusting yourself. And this is what people have the hardest part with, because for so many life experience reasons and for so many cultural and familiar reasons, we are taught not to trust ourselves.
Right.
Time and time again, people, life, etc., have shown us, don't trust yourself. And I don't know what the proper answer is to this. And I'm very fortunate that my family and my friends have always trusted my decision-making skills. If I say, you know that if I make a decision, I've obviously done a pro and a con, and I've written it out, and I've processed, and it's
very calculated.
It's calculated. I am the most strategic person. You don't even know. Okay. But
you know,
but you do know, correct. We don't play no games. You think you're in control? No. No, but honestly, and so I know that not everybody is like that. And I admire those people also, right? Because mm-hmm. I understand that they have a set of strengths that I don't have. And my whole purpose is to just, you know, in the last year that I've lived, through all the changes that I have been through, it is just, all I can do is speak my truth and live my life. And that is my power. I have a fierce vulnerability and a fearlessness, which sometimes can be to my detriment, but to the most part, being fiercely vulnerable in my art, which we didn't even talk about today. Right. Yeah, we didn't even talk about that transition.
That's the next conversation. That's another article.
That was the opening of so many doors, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. You have to trust, you have to trust in yourself, and nobody can teach you that, and nobody can do that for you besides you. And the only way you can trust yourself, here's the key, is failing. Yo.
Wow.
I'm snapping for my goddamn self right now because
Jill maybe is. You know, we hear Will Smith say it. We hear like all these famous people say it, you know, Matthew McConaughey, but mm-hmm. no one truly wants to fail forward. Like we hear people say it all the time, but actually doing it is a
different story.
Other story.
The key to growth, which is the key to life, if you ask me, again, because we've got 70 plus years in theory on this planet, right? Also, do not take anything or anyone for granted, because you may not get those 70 years. Let's be real. Another reason why you should cross the street if the traffic ain't coming. Fear of failure in work and in relationships, first and foremost, is what stops a lot of people.
Right.
And that's really sad. Because right beyond fear is growth, right beyond fear is opportunity, right beyond fear is change. But you have to be just a little twisted enough to go through that fear, because it hurts.
Yeah.
It doesn't just hurt you, it hurts the people around you. The people that you love the most, and nobody wants to hurt the people that they love the most.
Right.
And I'm not saying you should be selfish. And I'm not saying that you should be so self-centered that you're just like, F you and F you and F you, and I'm mowing across you. No,
right.
There's a nice balance to this. Being true to yourself, and as long as you are true to yourself, as long as you can communicate properly your expectations and your wants and your needs, first and foremost to yourself, and then to the people immediately around your circle, you will be successful in life. Because success is not defined by money. And you can ask, you know, entrepreneurs love money. Don't get us wrong. But those who work for themselves, who start their own businesses, who take this venture, are the most, I joke that I'm very risk averse, but obviously I'm very risk taking now that we're having this conversation. Wow, friend, I need to get out of that box.
Yeah.
Because I am actually the most risk taking person I know.
Hot yes, ma'am. You are.
But I didn't know that till right now, Grace.
Jill, this is the whole reason why I asked you to do this.
I didn't know that.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. And see, this is why you have to have open conversations, because you learn about yourself and you learn about the people around you. And from there,
absolutely.
The well, we're done for today. I made the sign of the cross. People didn't see it, but my Catholic self just made the sign of the cross.
You gave me the idea of, you know, a future article on vulnerability. So I will definitely hit you up for that. If anyone wants to buy your art, or wants to reach out to you for your art, like, do you have a website up yet?
Website is in the works. I have an Instagram for now, which doesn't have all the things, you know, and being vulnerable and being a business person is a lot of work in and of itself. But the Instagram is Patriartka. Grace will link this because it's kind of hard to spell. Yep.
And it's written.
I'm sorry?
It's going to be a written article.
A written article. Oh my God. How are you going to quote me on all this stuff? We need to actually just upload this recording. F it.
I probably should.
You need to transcribe this and you need to upload. That's a lot of work. Good luck. Because I talk really fast. So Patriartka is my art Instagram. And you know, it's something that's new. It's a side of myself that I just opened up in addition to this conversation. And I'm excited to move forward. And I think, and I hope that people can move past fear. You know, there's a book called Feel the Fear, But Do It Anyway. And to be honest, I have not read this book, but many people have told me about this book because apparently it reminds them of me.
Oh my gosh, I'm totally writing.
Yeah, Feel the Fear. And you know what? I'm going to order it on Amazon right now. And to just close out the conversation and circle it back, you know, the whole point was you wanted to talk to me about change because it seems like I'm always changing, right? Probably more than anyone more in your life. And it's because I feel the fear, but I do it anyway.
Oh, okay. I have to end this conversation there.
Right now, because we're going to be at this for about 3 more hours. Because
that was perfect.
We do it all the time.
Well, thank you.
You're so welcome. I love you. Thank you for, you know, being my friend after all these years, even though I can be an asshole sometimes. And
up to me.
You're right. You haven't seen that.
I have not experienced that.
You don't want to, Grace. You don't want to. But no, I am so proud of you and all of the endeavors you have taken, this website, Disabled Women included. And I'm honored to be your first interview. And I just want to remind everyone that gratitude is the most, love and gratitude are the most important things.
Thanks, Jill.
You're welcome.
Thanks for ending on that note. Well, all right. Are you able to stop
recording? I'm going to stop recording now. Bye, people.